Hello and welcome to Transformative Taskmaster, a podcast by fans, for fans, and about fans. This episode, TK will be speaking with Fic Enjoyer and friend of the podcast, Nat. Together, they'll be discussing fic trends and the effects of a fandom that has been perceived and discussed on national television.
All right, Nat, welcome to the Transformative Taskmaster podcast.
Happy to be here.
Yay, happy to have you. So you have been part of our little group chat for a while, and It has been so much fun to get to know you over the last, year and a half or something like that?
I think year. I think I showed up a little bit after the first Greg and Alex New York event.
Awesome. Now, you didn't go to that, did you?
No, I did not.
So sad. Hindsight's 2020, am I right? That would have been fun.
I like hiding out at home. Other people can get in the lineups and do the crowded things, and then they just feed me the really good videos and highlights, and I get to stay cozy.
Yeah, that's real. So we are going to be talking about the history of Taskmaster fanfic, and I understand that you bring many stats with you.
I do. They're kind of rough stats, but when I started reading Taskmaster fanfic, I at some point thought, how the heck did this happen? It's a show that has a lot of things that you could pick up and make fanfic out of. Like, there's a lot of content on the show that's clearly, ripe for fic. But I just thought, how did it get to be such a lively fic community on AO3 specifically, on Archive of Our Own? And so I went to the Taskmaster UK RPF tag, and I went all the way back to the very first stories, and I scrolled all the way through page by page to just see how this all developed. I'm here to share that that weird moment of just hyperfixated brain rot, and to share my pet theories of why Taskmaster has so much fic.
Yeah. So tell me, what was your experience like going back through to the original, first few fics, and did they have any kind of theme to them? Was it, because you said earlier that there's a lot of things in the show that you're like, well, that's just waiting to be written, was it a Greg and Alex dynamic? Was it a specific task? What was it?
So it was at first absolute crickets, and that's what really surprised me when I went back. So Taskmaster premiered in July of 2015. There is no fic whatsoever until November of 2015, and then there's only four. There's one in November, three in December, and then it's back to absolutely no fic until the summer of 2016. So we have, a year and a half. Oh, no, not summer of 2016. I'm sorry, much later. Until June of 2018.
Wow.
So in the first 3 years, we have four fics, and they're adorably G-rated. They're like, what if somebody did a task differently? Or what if we had a task, but it had live Pokemon? Or Josh Whittacombe gets caught in a time loop. It's really tame. It's really sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't really develop into anything.
Yeah.
So then what changes is one particular poster shows up. And that's Sasha Takaru. I'll call them Sasha. I don't know them. I hope that's okay to shorten their name. But basically, we have one person holding down the tag absolutely single-handedly for the first ever. Mm-hmm. Sasha publishes 56 consecutive fics before anyone else writes one.
Wow. That's incredible.
And Sasha from day one is in with heavy BDSM themes, bringing in other contestants, like a wide range of different ships. We've got like Greg and Josh Whitacombe. We've got Greg and Sarah Pascoe and Alex. We've got, you know, Greg and Rasheen. But yeah, Sasha just goes super, super, super hard, pretty much on their own for quite a long while.
As somebody who is like a people pleaser and is and like I'm known on our little group chat as like the raccoon that will like steal your ideas with permission, of course, with my grubby little raccoon hands, and then I'll go write a fic about it.
You want a story? I'll get you a story. 3 p.m. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Right, what was it? 56.
56.
I can't imagine writing 56 fics like just for myself. Like that sounds wild.
Right. So like just this single-minded writer, just really kind of setting up how all the fic goes from there, essentially. We have other authors start to show up after Sasha's been writing for, you know, a few months. And we start to have people in a very small cluster of authors doing a lot of gifts for each other. Mm. So there you see that kind of people pleaser and that kind of like community part come in, right? Where people are now enjoying this together. They've found their little clan of folk who are into the same thing, and they're writing with each other. Yeah. So this kind of peaks in like December 2018. We've got 28 fics written that month, which is, you know, not that, like, we only have 40-some fics written in total before that month. Mm-hmm. And then we've got this burst in December of 2018. It seems like people are like making each other Christmas presents, right? Or right, they're on breaks. Mm-hmm. This is also, by this point, we are up into series 7, Taskmaster airing. Right. So, you know, we've got Rod, we've got James. but also, I think in series 6 and in series 7, this is when we have a lot more of the kind of on-air, shippy BDSM dynamic between Greg and Alex. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I noticed as I was scrolling through is by this point, when we're in series 7, the fics have a lot more explicit references to things said on the show. Mm-hmm. So we have fic titles like So Servile, It's Vile, and Obscenely Obedient. And then the flip side of that, obediently obscene. But these are quotes, like straight quotes from the show.
Right.
And at first we didn't have that. At first it was people kind of, you know, writing their own fics, but not necessarily having as much like canon content and like literal word for word quotes from the show to use. Mm-hmm. But by series 7, that's there. We have the thank you daddy outtake. We have the Asim asking, you know, I don't know if you two are going to fuck or fight outtake, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot more of the show kind of feeding the fic really directly, I think.
Uh-huh. And do you think that was intentional by them?
By the show?
Or like by Alex or Greg? I mean, I think probably by Alex, because Greg didn't even know that there was fic being written about them until that one podcast that Alex brought it up.
Right, yeah. I don't know if Alex is intentionally feeding fic. I think Alex has absolutely from day one been fully on board with fic. So this is my pet theory about Taskmaster fan fiction, and it's that it's essentially Alex Horn's fault. that this man kind of single-handedly has stoked this whole phenomenon. Mm. So yeah, like you said, it's September 2019. So it's after Sasha and that kind of small group of authors have kind of built themselves up a bit. September of 2019, we have a Horn Section podcast episode where Alex has Greg on as a guest and has Greg do, along with himself, like a dramatic reading of one of Sasha's fics, which is wild. That is a wild thing to do.
Yep.
This is, I think, still a bit arm's length from Taskmaster, right? So this is on Alex's Horn Section podcast.
Right.
So smaller following, you know, a bit more niche. But yeah, he reads this fic out along with Greg. You have the feeling that kind of like he was waiting until Greg was on as a guest, you know, to spring this on him. So my sense is that Alex was probably aware of this for a little while, yeah? Mm-hmm. So he reads it out, and weirdly, I thought that this would kind of spark some additional fic. Mm-hmm. But when I go and look, Somebody very kindly ran the comment frequency by time in this tag. This has zero impact on comment frequency. And this actually seems like it has a negative impact on the number of fics that are published.
That's wild.
Yeah, so this airs in September. In September, there's 13 fics published. Then in October, there's 4. And in November, there's 0.
Huh.
Yeah. So I think because it was a small group,
mm-hmm.
and a group that was probably pretty invested in Alex, right? So probably knew about the Horn Section podcast. I think he actually just spooked people.
Interesting.
And everybody ducked their heads for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It does come back, though.
Thank goodness.
November 2019 is like the last month to ever have no fic in it.
Uh-huh.
So then, yeah, 2019, we're averaging 7 fics per month. So still pretty low, steady but low.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we move into, like, we've got Series 7 airing, which is obviously a big deal, 7, 8, 9. And by Series 9, we have the fanfic on the podcast. We have that blog post about the psychosexual intimacy of Taskmaster, right?
Right, yeah.
So I think by this point, we're in 2020. Things are being uploaded to YouTube for free. And there's, like, at least a sense within the fandom that there is, like, a dirty side to the Taskmaster fandom, right?
Mm-hmm.
That people are talking about the thank you daddy. People are talking about the fic and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Things kind of stay pretty steady. 2020, we have an average of 10 fics a month. You would think that COVID would have made more people sit at home and be horny, but apparently not.
Yeah, we were all too busy sitting at home freaking out.
Just sobbing. Just, yeah.
All day, every day, baby.
Zoom.
Yeah.
So 2021, there's this big boom. And I think weirdly that it is because people were so obsessed with Mike Wozniak.
I mean, valid.
Fair, right? Totally fair. So when Series 11 airs, we have more and more fics, and we're getting up to, like, almost by the end of 2020 daily, or a little bit more than daily. And we also have, like, a more diverse, like, author ecosystem, basically.
Mm-hmm.
We have some people who are still posting, like, all the time. We've got No Stars for Naughty Boys. We've got Proper Verse, Key to My Pie. They're posting a lot. Sasha is starting to kind of fade out and not post as frequently. But we have a huge uptick in the frequency of comments. People are a lot more interactive. And we have a lot more people who are just showing up and posting, like, just one,
mm-hmm.
and then going away. Like, a lot more casual authors or people who are just posting a couple. So it's not like a small dedicated group anymore. It's like we have, you know, some dedicated posters, but it's also like a big enough set of authors that you can do just a casual post and people will still find it. People will comment on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So 2021, we're averaging 24 fics a month.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah. I feel like the next kind of high watermark is in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
2022, we're just kind of chugging along. We have some really cool authors start posting. Nope E is one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Panda.
Yep.
We've got Carpet Snake posting all the time all of a sudden. But it holds pretty steady. Like 2021, we had 24 fics a month. 2022, we've got 17. So, like, not a huge explosion there.
Mm-hmm.
But 2023, we have a whole bunch of things happen. So we have Series 15 airing. And so Series 15, we have those on-air fic mentions. Yeah.
Oh, is that the series? I keep saying it's Series 14, but that's just me with my horrible memory. So it is Series 15, huh?
Yeah, Series 15, okay. Episode 3.
Uh-huh.
With, you know, Filthy Little Ferret and Let's Ruin Our Friendship.
Yeah.
And that's the one that, like, actually makes it into the episode, I believe, too,
yeah,
right? Like,
yeah,
that's the one that actually airs in the main episode.
Yes.
Because we have some other mentions that end up in the outtakes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's this whole kind of, like, secondary set of content in the outtakes where, like, the super obsessive fans are seeing all the horny stuff in the outtakes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the mainstream fans who are seeing the kind of stripped down version on YouTube are like, what the heck are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is, like, not only on the show, but, like, in the actual main aired version.
Yes.
Now,
and I remember that specifically because when I was watching, I was just like binging, you know, like the whole, you know, series by series. And when he mentioned that in the episode, I don't think I had been watching outtakes at that point, just because I don't think I knew they existed. But he said that, and I literally paused my video, and I was like, there's no way. And I went on AO3, and I was like, oh my gosh. That was my moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And by that point, like, you go, oh my gosh, and you go to AO3. And by that point, you show up on AO3, and there's like a conversation you can take part in. Hey, like, there's a big cluster of people. You can find stuff that you like. Mm-hmm. And like, my feeling is that early in the fic, like, we started with kind of a free-for-all. Then it got very Greg and Alex focused. Mm-hmm. And then we have these periods where sometimes we have a lot of different pairings, like especially when Mike Wozniak shows up. And then it kind of goes back to, okay, we're just doing the Greg and Alex. We're just doing this kind of specific dynamic. Sometimes you'll have somebody like kind of Rod or James break through. But in 2023, we have Unquiet Spirit start posting. And then like all the pairings, right? Like Unquiet Spirit writes about everybody mm-hmm. and has a much wider diversity. And we also have Illuminescence start posting, who does these huge, long fics, again, with like multiple relationships and a lot going on in them. Mm-hmm. So like we have just, yeah, kind of this explosion in creativity. We have this on-air fic mention that drives a lot of people there. I was looking at the numbers and I was a little surprised that it didn't seem like that on-air fic mention like immediately made everything explode. Mm-hmm. But partly it takes a while to get an archive of our own account mm-hmm. approved sometimes.
Right.
Right. And then also I feel like, you know, archive of our own is just getting more and more and more known at this point itself. So more people are likely to have pre-existing accounts or to kind of know where to find the fic, mm-hmm. you know, now as opposed to then. So we have the on-air fic mention. And then kind of following that, in August of 2023, we have the Little Alex Horn Fic Club start up on Tumblr and on Archive of Our Own. Mm-hmm. So this is a group where they do monthly prompts. People are kind of giving each other gifts, talking about fic writing, interacting more. So again, we have like enough authors and enough variety that people are now able to build these little kind of communities within it. Mm-hmm. 2023, we're still, weirdly enough, just averaging 17 fics a month. So we have, I think, like more variety and more community and this on-air fic mention, but like it's still a bit of a slow burn.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's because, so and I know mm-hmm. that like Illuminescence specifically, but I know there are also other writers that do this, is that they will write like long fics. So I wonder if that's if that's affecting the numbers at all.
Yeah, and I should say, like, these are really rough numbers where I'm just going by the last date updated, mm-hmm. which, especially if something's being published multi-parts, is not always accurate. We have some authors Not Alex Horn, who, you know, pulled everything at one point and then reposted it all at a different day. So, like, this won't be fully accurate. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think you're right. Like, sometimes just the length of writing will push things along and smooth it out. And then also, now that I can compare the dates that things were last updated and the comment frequency, you'll see the comment frequency is a lot more sensitive to, like, specific events or specific mentions, things being published, etc. Mm-hmm. But the actual fic publication frequency is much smoother. Mm-hmm. So the comments will spike while a new series is airing, and then they'll fade off while there's nothing on air.
Right.
But the fics just keep coming. Because the people who are writing fic are the year-round fans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also, you know, are taking some time. Like, I mean, what, Illuminescence writes things that are often like 80,000 words long?
Yeah, I'd say like 40,000 is her like low point.
Yeah. Unlike, you know, you're in there with your 1,500. and so you're our, you know, not our year-round fan, but our day-to-day fan.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, when Alex is saying there's two a day, That's me.
Yeah, for sure. So 2024 is when things go completely cuckoo banana pants in terms of fic frequency. Mm-hmm. So we were at 2021, 24 fics a month, 2022, 17, 2023, 17, 2024, we have 52 fics per month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how you can tell that that's when I joined the fandom. But yeah, I mean,
we also have some other things. So we've got in Champion of Champions 3, January of 2024, partly we have Seth and Alex go to New York, you know, like the international fandom is boosting. We have Champion of Champions 3, which has that mention of a big boy like you, mm-hmm. Which ends up in an outtake, which is a James Ed fic, hey? another... that's an Unquiet Spirit. Mm-hmm. But I think in Champion of Champions 3, we also, and maybe we'll talk about this more later when we talk about how all the different people who are kind of contributing to this like mythos, we've got Sophie Duker just like showing up for Champion of Champions 3 as an unapologetic, shippy fangirl.
Yes.
She's got temporary tattoos on with like Greg and Alex's face in hearts. She brings the couple's cosplay kit, right? So the fact that Sophie is able to like riff on this stuff on air, mm-hmm. I think shows you just how established the horny side of the Taskmaster fandom is by this point.
Yeah.
We're all like, oh yes, we're all aware. We're all aware of the Greg and Alex dirty stuff. This is now a normal part of the show. This mm-hmm. is something that, you know, a comedian on the show can just come in and mention and we all understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it brings us basically to now. January of 2025, we have Greg and Alex reading out fic on Seth Meyers. This time it does seem to have immediately caused an uptick in comments. And I think partly because of the excitement around that event, but partly just because there's so much fic now. Mm-hmm. We also have the highest ever month for total fic published on Archive of Our Own in the Taskmaster tag. So that's 110 works published in January of 2025 alone.
Yeah. And I don't know what my personal stats are, but I know so far this year I've been posting at least one fic a day, and there was a day that I posted six. So a good chunk of the January numbers are definitely, I mean, I'm guessing I'm maybe like 20% of that number.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it's the thing where absolutely 100%, a lot of those numbers are you. I think what we see over kind of the course of, you know, kind of 2020 through 2024 is that different people will pick up that mantle.
Yeah, yeah.
Of being like the hyper-frequent fic writer. So you are probably the most hyper-frequent fic writer, but you know, like there's times when Sasha's posting one a day. Mm-hmm. There's times when all of a sudden somebody, you know, just goes on a tear and they post one or two things a day for, you know, maybe it's only for 3 weeks and then they fade out. But like, I don't think that that boost in the numbers is just like, oh, well, TK's here now.
Right. No, definitely not. I mean, there are people like that you and I both know in our group chat that are like posting at a rate that is like coming really close to mine. And I'm starting to sweat, you know, I'm like, oh no, like there's like these people are fast. Like they're almost as fast as me or even, you know, a little faster in some cases. But yeah, we've definitely got like at least, I think there's like at least three of us like currently that I know of that are
just like churning it out.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm interested, you know, partly because selfishly I'm like, well, I have, you know, six fics total. I'm interested in like the casual writers too, mm-hmm. right? Like I think that there is a higher frequency of casual writers and of like regular but lower volume writers. Mm-hmm. And that having people who really hold down the tag and are publishing constantly makes it easy for everybody else to kind of like slip in, try it out, you know, post here or there and know that there's an overall activity level that's going to get their fix read, is going to get them feedback, is going to get them, you know, interaction that they want. Mm-hmm. But yeah, nearly 40% of all Taskmaster fic has been posted in the past 12 months.
Wow. That's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, here's to 2025 and we'll see kind of where it goes from there.
Yeah.
But I mean, so Alex showed up in 2019 when it was really one person writing to themselves,
mm-hmm.
And was like, this is fun. And picked it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Alex seems to have kind of stuck with, I think he's had Sasha in his head as his model for what fanfic is like for quite a while. Because mm-hmm. people would ask him about it and he'd be like, oh, I like the Christmas ones. And Christmas themed ones really was a Sasha thing.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Alex is the one who's bringing it up in 2015 on air. Alex is the one who's bringing it up in Champion of Champions in 2024 in the outtake. It's always Alex driving this bus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Alex has been entertained by this and interacting with this all the way through from when it was essentially, you know, a one author fandom to now when it is a very kind of well-developed multi-author, like lively, thriving tag.
Mm-hmm.
So then for Greg and Alex to go on Seth Meyers and to kind of role play it as though this is Greg.
Mm-hmm.
Greg is the one who is making Alex feel uncomfortable by reading fic mm-hmm. on air is like just patently ridiculous, right? Like, we see you. We see you, Gregory Daniel Davis. I think, you know, I assume that they wanted the, like, Greg being mean to Alex dynamic to be mm-hmm. part of the interview because it's the dynamic of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But this was really the first time that we have Greg publicly being like, I like this. This is fun. This is my favorite fic. Oh, I particularly like this part. Right. Right.
Yeah.
So Greg seems, you know, actively on board in a way that he wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you saw that, like, Alex couldn't even he couldn't even commit to the bit. And Alex commits to every single bit. Like, that is all he does, right? Mm-hmm. Alex couldn't fully commit to being uncomfortable or to pretending to be uncomfortable. He's like, oh, well, no, I'm just uncomfortable with it being read on American television, he right. says, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he makes a real point of being like, but the writing is good. The writing is good. You know, double thumbs up. Like,
yep.
He really doesn't want to come across like he's shitting on fic writers.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think Alex has been driving this all the way along. And my theory going into looking at the numbers really was that this was like entirely Alex's fault, like that Alex had really stoked all of this.
Yeah.
I think what I'm seeing now that I have a bit better numbers, and hopefully I will continue to get better ones and do smarter things with them, but is that it's really a mix. Like, when Alex mentions fic, absolutely, it drives people to fic.
Mm-hmm.
That's how, you know, that's how we got you. But when we were looking through the comments, was somebody noticed that there was a big spike in comment frequency on July 12th of 2021. And like, that spike is not because of anything Alex did or anything that happened on the show. It's because somebody, a Thing with Wings posted the Your Body is My Body, or sorry, My Body is Your Body fan vid.
Oh,
and people went
yeah.
crazy for it because
yeah.
it's amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like, sometimes the spikes in activity are internally generated. It's because fans are doing things that other fans love and mm-hmm. we're interacting and commenting and liking. So partly it's driven by, like, you know, the show mentions absolutely help. And I think absolutely kind of validate it and make people feel a little bit more comfortable with it. We're like, okay, Alex thinks it's funny. Alex doesn't think it's creepy.
Yeah.
This is okay. But I think it is this kind of symbiotic thing where partly it's the fandom is generating the fandom.
Mm-hmm.
Partly the creators interacting is giving it a boost. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's kind of going back and forth.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, cause you know that in our, like in our group chat that we're part of, like specifically,
yeah,
we'll sometimes give ourselves like little challenges to be like, oh, this month we're going to focus on like top Alex, or this month, you know, it's going to be like Valentine's Day stuff, you know, like fluff
yeah.
and fluff and smut and stuff like that. And like, so, and like currently at the time of recording this, we're in the middle of like a bingo kind of thing where we where like there's like 145 bingo prompts, and then everybody gets their own bingo board, and then, you know, you just try to fill out. I've already gotten a blackout, but that was like weeks ago.
Yeah, and if people want to go and kind of follow up on this and see what this looks like on Archive of Our Own, if you look for Little Alex Fic Club, sorry, Little Alex Horn Fic Club, last summer we did a big, big exchange where, you know, everybody put in what they'd like to see, what they'd like to somebody else to write, and then we all got paired up and we all wrote each other things. And I think that was, I mean, how many fics were in that? I should look.
Yeah, off the top of my head, I have no idea. I just remember that being really, really fun. Like, that was...
Oh, it was so
So much fun to do. Because it was like
24.
Oh, okay. That's not bad.
Yeah. No, yeah. 24 works in that collection, where people are kind of writing things for each other.
Yeah.
And so that's all kind of, you know, a core group of like, hardcore nerd writers. Mm-hmm. But, you know, anytime you have that, then all of a sudden, you know, you've got 24 fics dropping on the same day. Mm-hmm. And then people are coming to the tag and they're sharing it on Tumblr and they're commenting. It's spiraling off other things. Like, I think the one that I wrote something for Unquiet Spirit in the exchange that was about like basically a, you know, a BDSM party that was like episode themed. And I think you wrote a spinoff of that, didn't you?
I think so, because you wrote that one for Unquiet Spirit and I read it and I was like, this is my new favorite thing. Oh my gosh, this is so good. And then I was like, I need there to be a follow-up to this, because I think you left it as like not quite a fade to black thing, but like, and then
they were heading to the after party.
There's the after party, and I'm like, I need to know what happens at the after party. And you're like, I can't be fucked to do this. And I was like, okay, then I'll do it. Let me do it.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, fic begets fic. Like, yep. As people are writing, they're bouncing off each other too. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're gonna take a little break in the conversation to play some games. And
absolutely.
By some games, I mean a game. And the game is called Fact or Fanfic. So, all right, so I'm going to read you three quotes. And all of these quotes are going to be like Greg's introduction to Alex at the start of every show type of thing.
Okay.
And so you are going to tell me whether you think it is fact or fanfic.
If I do badly at this, I'm going to be like profoundly upset.
Oh, one of my guests earlier, like that we recorded yesterday, quizzed me on stuff and I got zero right. I was so embarrassed.
If I was on Taskmaster, I would fully be like an Ed Gamble / John Robbins, like absolute tryhard. Yep. Who cares way too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
So
you and me both.
Let's see how bad I'm going to embarrass myself. Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. So first one. And next to me, obscenely obedient, and believe me, obediently obscene, it's Little Alex Horn.
Oh, that's a gimme, because Sasha wrote Fix with that as a title. So that has to be real.
That is correct. It is a fact. All right.
See, reading fanfic will help you in your life.
Yes, that's true. All right, next. Second one. And next to me is a man who most days I desperately wish I didn't know, and who most nights I know biblically. It's Little Alex Horn.
I'm going to say that's also real.
That one is Bioluminescence.
Oh, that's a good one.
It is a good
that's
one.
That's a really good one.
Yes, it's Bums Get All the Fun by Bioluminescence. She's really good at those banter sections.
She's so good.
Yeah. All right, last one. This is your redeeming chance, because you're 1-1 so far.
This is a tie break.
Yes, here we go. And to my left is my assistant. He excels at Excel, and schedules are his happy fuel. But he's never met a spreadsheet he wouldn't spread on the sheets for. It's Little Alex Horn.
That's thick.
That is fic. It's another Illuminescence.
Honestly, the one that at first, the second one, I was like, this feels like fic. But what got me was biblically, because I can so clearly picture Greg saying that.
Yeah, it's so easy to
Yeah.
hear it in his voice. But
Yeah.
yeah,
Oh,
that one
Illuminescence
is
is so good.
just so amazing. That one is Unconventional Upholstery Repair, which is quite the title.
Nothing says sex like upholstery repair.
You know, if anybody can make it work, it's these guys. Like, to be fair.
Alex doing a double thumbs up. The writers are good. They're
Oh,
good.
I love that little reaction image because his little face is just like so torn. It's just like, I'm uncomfortable, but it's good. I love you guys. I'm just like, Alex, please, I'm begging you. Oh, goodness. All right, well, good job. You won the game section. You'll get a little
Yay.
trophy on the website.
Good, good, good.
Make sure you get it. Little Greg's Head trophy. Okay, so we've talked a lot about the history, the stats of Taskmaster fanfic. We've talked about how, Alex has made it happen, how the community has made it happen, and kind of the trends in when things happen on the show or during the off season or whatever, stuff like that. So now I want to talk about how the Taskmaster universe, or like the lore, if you will, is like a co-created type of world between like canon contributions and then fanon contributions, which would be like fan contribution. I feel like it's pretty straightforward, but so like the actual canon of the show plus what the fans create equals this kind of Taskmaster universe kind of thing.
Absolutely. And to me, this is really, really fascinating. And I think it has its roots partly in improv and in collaborative storytelling, in the way that everything just gets kind of yes anded, right? But my half-baked theory is that, I mean, of course, there's all sorts of real people fiction out there. You can find fiction about anything, Rule 34. But I think the fandoms that have really active real people fiction tags are often fandoms where there's something in the original work itself that opens the door to imagining these people together, or that kind of makes some kind of invitation to fans to imagine these people together. So, outside of Taskmaster or some of the kind of more mainstream, big real people fiction fandoms are boy bands and professional sports. And in both of those, there's like an implicit invitation to think about these people as being in relationships with each other or with fans, right? Like boy bands are there as surrogate boyfriends. And a lot of their appeal is that they invite young women to imagine being in relationships with them. And so, fanfic is partly that, and it's partly imagining them being in relationships with each other. But a lot of their marketing is this kind of often synthetic, like, oh yeah, we totally have this real friendship. We totally live in a house together, and celebrate birthdays and hug each other. And right. So there's something there for fic writers to latch onto. Professional sports, obviously not often with that romantic angle, but you do spend a lot of time thinking about how do these personalities mesh? What's the give and take here? How do these people work together? What's their relationship? And so then, hockey fandom takes that and turns it into hookups. So with Taskmaster, like it's a game show. It's very weird that that a game show has this much fanfic. And I think a big part of it is that Alex and Greg are in persona a lot of the time that they're on screen, and they're creating those characters together with each other and with all of the contestants. So we have Alex, as little Alex Horn, and we have Greg as the Taskmaster. And of course, Greg as the Taskmaster is nothing like Greg in real life, who is the world's biggest, people-pleasing sweetheart softie. But there's this lore that starts getting developed where, you know, oh yeah, we live in a house together. Oh yeah, he removes all the dead skin from my feet. You know, Alex says, I never scream. And Greg says, oh yes, you do. Right? There's all these little moments that build up this canon sexual relationship between the Taskmaster and little Alex Horn, mm-hmm. right? Like not between Greg and Alex, but between those two personas. Like it's canon that those two characters are together and fucking.
Yeah.
And so at first you're kind of getting this mostly in the Greg and Alex back and forth. And then sometimes it's they're doing it collaboratively, right? Mm-hmm. Like Greg goes in the house where we live together, and Alex immediately kind of echoes him and goes, together, our lovely
our
house.
Lovely home together.
Thank you. Yeah, I couldn't quite get it, but yeah. But then you start to get the contestants are feeding into this, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're torturing Alex because they know that that's going to make Greg happy.
Yep.
And they say so. They're like, I knew this would get us me points because yep. this is, you want to see him getting debased and tied up and turned into a water feature and a mermaid and all these things. Mm-hmm. You also get contestants starting to kind of throw the ball back, right? Play mm-hmm. the game too. So the one that stands out to me is Asim in series six saying, you know, I don't know whether you two are going to fuck or fight.
Yep.
And Greg immediately yes ands it and yep. says, oh, you know, frequently both simultaneously.
Yeah.
And so you start to get these broader conversations happening on screen between Greg, Alex, and the contestants where they're all making this lore together.
Yeah.
And you have it where you can also, you know, on purpose kind of like throw a wrench into things and mess with it. Mm-hmm. So you have Greg doing those repeated intros to Alex, you know, saying that he doesn't think women should vote or fly airplanes.
Yeah.
or that he thinks his middle child's tutor is hot as hell. And no, his neighbor is hot as hell and twice as spicy. Yeah. But he has a crush on his kid's teacher and things like that. Mm-hmm. So like, it's not that Alex is in full control of the little Alex Horn persona. Greg gets to add stuff if he wants to. Everybody gets to add stuff if they want to. And so there's like this really open invitation to everybody involved in the show to add stuff, to contribute to the lore. Mm-hmm. And so canon is never as tightly controlled on Taskmaster as it is on, you know, a show that has a clear showrunner or a book that has a single author. Like it's already co-created. It's already always collaborative and always open to like reinterpretation and addition. Mm-hmm. And so I think the fans see that and they're like, oh, cool. Me too. I want to play. Pass me the ball.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'm going to yes and the heck out of that. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. The thing that I always think about is Sophie Duker on the bike, or like Alex is on the bike and she needs to put all the ducks in his basket or whatever. Something about a bike and ducks and baskets.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's like, Alex, you're doing this to yourself. And he's like, I do everything for him. Just like, yeah. You did not need to say that, but like, okay.
Right. Yeah. 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 So you've got Alex, you know, chucking that in. You have moments too. In that same series, we've got enable Alex to bite his duck.
What a task.
What a task. Where Alex is in a pink suit out of nowhere. And Alex long-term wore pink underwear until he started wearing black underwear, specifically because Greg told him to switch colors.
Yep.
That's on Alex's off menu episode, which is a wild episode. Anyway, so pink has like this weird loaded meaning. And then it is very much like you're trying to get him to like use a duck as a ball gag, essentially, while he's restrained and getting soaking wet.
Yep. Just normal things.
But back in studio, normal things.
Comedy.
Back in studio, you know, everybody is teasing Alex about this and saying, like, you're having a difficult year. Hey, like, what are you trying to do? Even back in series seven with Excite Alex, it's, you know, is this phrased in a deliberately provocative manner? You know, mm-hmm. are you trying to get people to do this? So there's like a lot of kind of like acknowledgement and almost like fourth wall breaking around like, hey, I'm now talking to like Alex Horn. Are you trying to fuel this stuff? Are you trying to feed the perverts on the internet? You know?
Yeah.
And I don't think he is necessarily, I don't know, right? Like, but I think that for sure he is in leaving intentional openings mm-hmm. for other people to pick up the lore, to pick up the personas and the relationships, and to make their own contribution to that.
Yeah. And it's interesting that originally Alex had been the one to kind of spearhead this. But now, as we were talking about earlier in New York, you know, Greg is the one that seemingly is like having so much fun with this. And I'm not even going to say seemingly, I'm going to say he is having so much fun with this, because when we were at the Q&A, and like, I'm 100% sure that yeah. you know this, all, like where I'm going with this. But, you know, we were at the Q&A, they're not there as the Taskmaster and his assistant. Like, they're not in their right. costumes, you know, they're just like, yeah. we're Greg and Alex, you know, like, yes, we're here for a Taskmaster event. But like, you know, we're not like the characters, which I feel like right. is different, because they have done, you know, stuff where they'll come out in costume and everything. Yes. But they didn't for this. And you know, Greg immediately brings up fanfic, like within like the first like 10 minutes of the Q&A, he's the one bringing it up. I say this like all the time, but he was the one that brought it up. Like there wasn't like a question about fanfic. Like he just brought it up of his own volition. And then later, like much later during one of the tasks, like the live tasks, Alex is laying flat down on the floor, like for some reason on his back, like looking up at the ceiling, and Greg is like sitting in the chair that's like pretty much right by his head. And Alex says, "I don't like this view." And Greg says, well, so first of all, Greg leans back, unbuttons his jacket, and then mm-hmm. leans forward again. And he's mm-hmm. and his like his legs are spread, and he goes, "You're not used to seeing it with trousers, are you?" And then he leans down, yeah. slaps Alex on the face, and goes, "We're in public." And I was just like, "You yeah. need to stop! Like you're
right.
You are doing
that." He knows exactly. And like he knows that the people who come out to the live shows are the most obsessive fans, right?
Yes.
Like he knows he's not talking to like a Sunday brunch audience.
Right.
He's talking to the internet perverts.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Hey buddies, I see you. I'm here for this."
Yeah. And not only that, but like he 100% knew that we were in the room, because earlier, yeah. like an hour earlier, yeah. he had literally been talking to us, like our little group of like 14 writers who was sitting all together, because when Alex yeah. brought up there, you know, there's like 867 fix. Yeah. And we were all like, "That's not right." You know, we were like, "There's yeah. way more than that." But like, I yeah. forgot that you had to like have an account and log in to see them. But like, so then we were all like bursting out into like little chicken chatter, like, yeah. and he was like, "What's that person over there saying?" And then suddenly all of us went dead quiet. And I was like, 1,025.
Because
the last number that I remember seeing when we were like, because, yeah. you know, we don't check the numbers too terribly often, but I was like, yeah, those are like 800. Those are rookie numbers. So
that's
like,
yeah.
100% Greg knew that we were that like fanfic writers were in the audience, because he even said yeah. to us, or like more specifically to me, he was like, "Oh, I bet you're the one that wrote Daddy's Little Screamer, aren't you?" And like, and I didn't. That's not one of my fics.
No.
But
for the record, 1802 works in the Taskmaster RPF tag, and that's UK specific.
That's wild.
So,
but that's not Greg and Alex, though. That's the Taskmaster.
That's not Greg and Alex.
Yeah.
Yeah. Greg and Alex, we've got 1319.
Yeah. So that would have been the one
yeah.
that they would have been looking up. But
yeah, I mean, no, I mean, they're clearly happily fueling it at this point.
Oh,
I feel
yeah.
like Greg, you know, maybe he takes a while to warm up to things, but yeah, clearly fueling it at this point. And again, I'll point to Sophie Duker as the person who really bridged the two worlds.
Mm-hmm.
To say, like, not only is this like something that Greg and Alex are doing and that the people who are literally in the chairs across from them are invited to participate in, but Sophie showing up and being like, "My prize task is a couple's cosplay outfit."
For the fans.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For Sophie to show up and be like, "My prize task is not just something that's making a joke about you two fucking, but is something that's saying, hey, I know there's a lot of people out there who would like to, like, actively engage in the Taskmaster lore. Like, to even as a, I mean, obviously it's a joke, but to show up and be like, oh no, there's people who would absolutely want to put these suits on and fuck each other.
Yep.
It's probably something that has happened. But, you know, like, she's there mentioning a level of fan investment in the horny side of the show that just, mm-hmm. like, was not on the show before, except maybe in that fic mention in Series 15.
Yeah.
You know, and she's kissing the Greg statue. She's leaning into that kind of every possible chance she gets.
Yeah.
And it really is, like, Sophie is us. We yeah. are Sophie. Yeah. Sophie showed up and she was us for us on the show, you know? Yeah. Like, so... to make it okay for a comedian to engage with the fan stuff as a fan. Like, it really seems like she's a fan herself.
Yeah.
I think with, like, the last little barrier between the fan world and the on-air world, like, died that day.
Yeah.
In Champion of Champions 3.
Yeah. Yeah. What a queen. We love Sophie so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, James is a fan of the show, but he was a fan of the show kind of fairly directly and was just like, oh yeah, I really loved doing well on this task because I'm a fan of the show. And that was the best moment of my life, you know, crushing the one where he had to scream.
Yeah.
But James would not show up and be like actively egging on the shippy part.
Right.
And Sophie absolutely did that. Like, there's a huge difference there. So yeah, I think Sophie as fan stand in is a big moment.
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah. I mean, it's just wild that we got to see her, like, living all of our dreams, you know, on the big screen, and we were just so happy for her. So happy.
Yeah. I get to go back. Cool. I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna give just the biggest present to all of the internet perverts.
Yep, truly. And I know that Greg used to say, you know, I don't know where these people are getting the idea that, you know, Alex and I have some kind of romantic or sexual relationship. I think he's past that point now. I think that he specifically does stuff, you know, like the thing that he did in the Q&A, where there's no more denying that whatever it is you're doing, Greg, like, you can't be like, I don't know where people are getting these ideas from. It's like, you know full fucking well where people are getting these ideas from.
Well, and like the initial on-air kiss, you know, seemed like it was planned, seemed like it was scripted. It was still great. I mean, you know.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I really want to kiss you right now. Oh, do you? Come on then. And like, it's perfect. It's wonderful. But that was clearly like something that was like negotiated and planned out ahead of time. Whereas you watch the Series 18 kiss, where Greg is egging Alex on to say the word.
Yeah.
Because he knows that Alex doesn't like to swear on air, and Alex doesn't like to be flustered. And Alex is doing the whole, like, turning bright pink, like, you know, can I whisper it to you? Okay, lean in. And Greg absolutely, like, lures him in just so that he can, like, smack his clipboard away and sneak a kiss. Right? Like, a very spontaneous kiss.
Yeah.
So, like, Greg both, like, baiting Alex, flustering Alex, humiliating Alex, right? Like, all of that stuff that's just right in that, like, BDSM kind of lore relationship. And turning it into yet another excuse to kiss Alex Horn. Like, that's coming straight from Greg.
Yeah.
Greg is clearly playing with this and having fun with this at this point.
Yeah.
And I think that helps writers feel more like it's okay, right? Like, Real People Fiction is a bit loaded, and it does get more kind of negative responses online, even within fandoms.
Yeah.
Greg and Alex fic and Taskmaster fic generally, I feel a lot more comfortable with. I'm not like anti anything specific, but you know, like my other fandom that I kind of ever really participated in was Our Flag Means Death.
Mm-hmm.
And there is some like Reese Tyka Real People Fiction. And I'm like, it doesn't really grab me as much. I'm not as interested in it. And I don't feel like kind of as absolutely 100% totally okay
right.
with it as I do about Greg and Alex stuff, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, no. Greg and Alex are writing fan fiction every goddamn day they show up to work, you know, and are clearly tickled by it and engaging with it and catering to the people who write it in a million different little ways.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, so for me personally, like, I knew about RPF, but I didn't like seek it out or write it or anything like that. Cause, you know, for me, I was like, yeah, it's like kind of weird. I mean, and like, this is coming from someone who has had RPF written about them, and it made me feel deeply uncomfortable.
Which, I think when it's people you know, that is, you know, without their consent, like, that's immediately icky.
Right. But I think the difference between, like, I don't want to say, like, most of RPF, because I don't know anything about, you know, the wider RPF world or whatever, because I've only ever interacted with the Taskmaster one. But the difference between that and, like, and Greg and Alex is that, like, they are out there bringing it up willingly, and they wouldn't be doing that if they didn't, like, you know, take some kind of absolute joy in the fact that there are people writing about them. You know, like, they printed out fanfic to read on Seth Meyer. Like, you don't do that by accident. You don't,
no,
you
there
don't
were a
like
million other things you could have done.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, yeah, I think that's the thing that made me be like, okay, like, I feel like I can write RPF and not feel like weird about it with these guys, because like, they're pretty much just asking for it, you know, at this point. Like, they love that it exists, which is great.
Yeah. And you see some RPF where it is people are writing about the personas.
Yeah.
And you see some RPF where people are writing about, like, the guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's still not actually ever them, right? Like, and we know that. It's still just kind of like, this is my sense of them. But I think having that persona layer helps for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because again, like, it's opening this space where we're all writing the story together.
Mm-hmm.
We're all adding little bits of flair to this story. And because it is kind of an open, ongoing project, to create this relationship and to create this world, that feels really kind of comfortable and appealing for a lot of folk.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it also helps that Greg and Alex, like, actively welcome fan works into, like, not even just, you know, like, oh, you can give them a piece of fan art or whatever, and they'll be, like, thrilled about it, which, you know, from what I've seen and heard and seen in person, like, every single piece of fan art that they get, they're just blown away by it. But not only that, but, like, they have, like, fan creations in the Taskmaster house, like, hanging up on
absolutely
the walls, like, in the shed, you know, like, they take, like, just from, like, the New York City trip, they were gifted 2 stained glass portraits of themselves, and now those portraits are hanging up in the Taskmaster house.
That's amazing. Or like the previous New York trip where somebody gave them friendship bracelets, and then they wore the friendship bracelets on Seth Meyers.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's not just fic. It's things like that. It's things like that. Alex has that crochet doll of him that somebody made that I think he made some school tasking videos with.
Mm-hmm.
They really do seem to enjoy it. Enjoy the creativity and the nerdiness and the intensity of the kind of geeky, obsessive, I love you so much that I had to crochet this style of fandom.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, Alex will, you know, he will cheerfully like and repost.
Oh, yeah.
You know, drawings of himself and things like that. And then, so that kind of thing that you're handing to them, that's usually, you know, ideally, you're not handing them anything that's not G-rated, right?
Right.
But then the fic you hold behind a wall because, like you said, like, you know, if you hear it about yourself and you don't want to, that's icky, right? So fanfic writers oftentimes, like, the reason why they didn't know how many fics there actually are is because it's locked down. A lot of people will lock down their accounts so you can only see it if you're logged in, just as a way to restrict a little bit the odds of, you know, Alex reading what you wrote about Alex giving somebody a blowjob. And so, but the fact that it's then set up that way and they have to go and seek it out themselves and decide, yes, today I want to click this link that is warning me that there is explicit content if I go forward.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's another part of how their interactions with the fic, I think, feel okay for not everybody, but a number of people, because they're having to actively go and seek it out and dig for it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely different. Like, going out and like looking for it yourself rather than like being handed it.
Yeah.
Like for sure. So yeah, I think that definitely sets a lot of us at ease that they just keep bringing it up, which is ridiculous that they keep doing it, but like we love it. Yeah. So keep on doing it, boys.
We've made a boundary. If you want to blow past it, then y'all go ahead. But
Yeah. So, all right. So speaking of fan work recommendations, since you've joined the Taskmaster fandom, tell me like your all-time favorite. It can be like Taskmaster fanfic, it can be fan art, it can be a music video. Like what are your fan work recommendations for the podcast?
Yeah, I have three. One is Blood in the Cut, which is a video, which is just the most kind of bizarre and wonderful fan vid with a lot of creepy moments where people are, you know, bleeding or uncomfortable or pretending to be dead. It's really intense and it's weird. And I think it's a wonderful thing where if you said, oh, let me tell you about this light British comedy entertainment show that I like, and then you showed them that video, they'd be like, what the fuck is going on? But a great example of how weird the on-screen canon of Taskmaster is.
Yeah.
For fix, my all-time absolute favorite Taskmaster fic is Welcome Home by Nope E, which is on AO3. It is a slow burn roommates to lovers alternate universe where Greg and Alex are, you know, not famous comedians. It has so many Easter eggs and references to the show all the way through. And it's also just like, oh, it's so sweet. It's so emotional. And there's really good porn. So it's everything I want. Yes. I have read that one probably, I mean, I've read it dozens and dozens of times. I'm obsessed with it. It's perfect.
Nice.
For more recent fic, Illuminescence has come up a few times. Illuminescence is, I think, in terms of like writing quality mm-hmm. and like ability to spin complex plots and also to nail characterization, like one of the absolute best writers, like
yep.
the most skilled at writing writers that we have
yep.
In Taskmaster fic. So last year we had that little Alex Horn fic club exchange, and Illuminescence wrote me something based on a Taskmaster Star Trek crossover. So it's Star Red and Heart Hot. Just absolutely, absolutely destroyed me. There is a time loop. Q shows up. Rod Gilbert is there as a Klingon named Rudd of House Gilba. Like, the Star Trek references are on point. The Taskmaster references are on point. You're reading it and you're like, this is fun and nerdy. And then before you know it, you're like sobbing because you're emotionally destroyed by these two people like finding love in an unexpected way. And it's just like, it's so good. It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect.
Yeah. I definitely agree with you. It's, I have a tattoo of it on my leg.
Right.
Sun red and blood hot. Is
Star Red and Heart Hot.
Yeah.
Star Red and Heart Hot. I know I had to, I was like, I'm going to make sure I have a tab open with that on it because I will not say it correctly otherwise.
Yeah.
Oh, and she worked in Sam Campbell, who is my particular Blorbo perfect obsession person. So I'm forever grateful to her for that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's incredible. I mean, anything by her is just incredible.
Yeah, if you got the time to spare, because they're long.
Yes. Yes, they are definitely long. All right, so you are on AO3. Do you want me to plug your AO3 account? Anything else you want to plug?
You know, like, I have not updated my fix for some months, so if anybody wants to come onto AO3 and look me up under The Natural Friends, and then just, like, politely politely threaten me in the comments, that may motivate me to actually finish my big long Greg Sam fic. But yeah, no, you're welcome to find me, but I'm not super duper active at the moment. On Tumblr under the same handle.
Sweet. Good deal. Well, it has been a pleasure having you on the pod. It's been a really interesting chat of all of the TM fanfic and just the history of it and how we're just going to keep chugging forward with it. And I'm really excited to see what we all come up with.
We broke 100 in a month. 200 is next up, friends. Gotta keep blowing it up. Gotta make more Seth Meyers content for the boys.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. Well, thank you so much for coming on the pod.
Take care.
All right, bye. Yeah.
Lovely to chat.
You too.
And that was TK speaking with Nat on Fic, Stats, and Being Perceived. You can read all of the fan works mentioned in this episode right now by clicking on the episode description or going to our website, tftaskmaster.uk. If you have any questions, fan work recommendations, suggestions, or anything else, you can email us at fans@tftaskmaster.uk.